good morning. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah 6. Now it came about when it was reported to Sanballat, Tobiah, to Geshem the Arab, and to the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall, that no breach remained in it, although at that time I had not set up the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me saying, "Come, let us meet together at Shepharim in the plain of Ono," but they were planning to harm me. So I sent messengers to them saying, "I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?" And they sent messages to me four times in this manner, and I answered them in the same way. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me in the same manner a fifth time with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews are planning to rebel. Therefore, you are rebuilding the wall, and you are to be their king according to these reports. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim in Jerusalem concerning you, 'A king is in Judah.' And now it will be reported to the king according to these reports. So come now, let us take counsel together." Then I sent a message to him saying, "Such things as you are saying have not been done, but you are inventing them in your own mind. For all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking, 'They will become discouraged with the work, and it will not be done.' But now, O God, strengthen my hands." And when I entered the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home, he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night." But I said, "Should a man like me flee? And could one such as I go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." Then I perceived that surely God had sent him, had not sent him, and he uttered his prophecy against me because of Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He was hired for this reason, that I might become frightened and act accordingly and sin, so they might have an evil report in order they could reproach me. Remember, O my God, Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these works of theirs, and also Noadiah the prophetess and the rest of the prophets who are trying to frighten me. So the wall was completed on the 25th of the month of Elul in 52 days. And it came about when our enemies heard it that they lost, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Also, in those days, many letters went from the nobles of Judah to Tobiah, to Tobiah's letters came to them, and many in Judah were bound by oath for him because he was a son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Era, and his son Johanan had married the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Moreover, they were speaking about his deeds, good deeds in my presence, and reported my words to him. Then Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go back to this demonic assignment, okay, that's taking place here. And let's go all the way back, chapter 4, opposition through discouragement, and then opposition through extortion, and then opposition that we see here through compromise, then opposition through slander, and then opposition through treachery. And then the completion. And it actually just keeps going on and on and on and on. And so we look at the first one, opposition through compromise. This goes through 1 through 4. So the Samaritans again, remember the Samaritans, they're always going to rear their ugly head here and there. They come and they offer, we find out, four letters of invitation to Sepharim in the plain of Ono, which was like really a nice village. Maybe considered a vacation a destination, or like we would see it somewhere in that way. You know, nice. The letters probably said something to the effect of, you know, Nehemiah, why don't you come and rest? You know, why don't you come and meet with us and just, you know, like kick up your feet for a while? You've been working so hard, you know, during this time. So why don't you come and just relax with us? And all these things happen. And obviously, he says no to these things. And you see the reason why he says, verse 3, "I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you?" And so that's why the authors call this the opposition through compromise. He was basically, the compromise was, you know, to stop doing what God had called him to do. Even to take a little bit of break, even to take a little holiday or something. But he said, no, this is a work of God, and it was a ploy to get him to stop doing what God had called him to do. And seemingly, you know, it seemed to be quite a fairly decent reason, you know, because these guys are also leaders, right? They're also rulers in their own way. And so to have a powwow or a meeting would not be out of the ordinary during these times, especially Nehemiah stepping into that role as governor. And so, but he says, no, I will not have this. I will not be distracted from the work that God has for me. And brothers and sisters, that's really all the enemy needs to do is just bring a little bit of distraction to us. That's all he does. We're set to do the work of God. And next thing you know, we're distracted by Netflix. And next thing you know, we actually watch the whole week's worth, you know, of shows and these type of things. We binge watch and these things. That's all the enemy needs. He just needs a little window for distraction. And basically, Nehemiah says, I will not be distracted. I will not compromise the task that God has set for me. And then the next part, so Sanballat, by the way, you know, when we talk about the gift of distinguishings of spirits, I definitely think Nehemiah had it. I mean, you can see when he's going through this, Nehemiah, he perceived that they were going to do him harm. And you see this, you know, continually over again, especially when we get to verse 10. You know, it's actually his friend, the prophet, and he perceives this gift is working within him during this time. And then you have the opposition to slander. Now, Sanballat, after four letters, he's like, all right, this is it. And he does this, and then he does this fifth time, but now an open letter in his hand. Now, you got to understand the context, or historically what this means. Most letters that were given out were in a scroll. It was rolled up. It was very, usually it had some kind of a wax seal or some signet or something like that, and usually put into a box or some kind of bag, or usually it's quite ornate. Nehemiah, being part of the royal court, would have been used to a lot of this pomp and circumstance when it comes to these official letters. And that's what was given before. They're nice and used to that. But when someone brings an open letter, meaning there's no wrapping, there's no covering, and it's usually given to people of disdain. And so like if I felt I was superior to you, then I would offer an open letter. That's what it would be like. And so basically in this time now, Sanballat's cards are on the table. And so he brings this open letter, which is a sign of disdain. It's a sign of, you know, like, I'm better than you, I'm more than you, or these type of things. And it comes into this place. And so he gives him, and now he straight up slanders. You know, it's been reported among the nations, and Gashmu says, da, da, da. I don't know if you ever had these kind of situations, but this is a very, very common phrase that manipulative people use. You know, so let's say someone has a problem with my sermon, right? And then they'll come and talk to you. They say, well, I've heard from a lot of people that your sermon was da 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 da. And I always say, who? Tell me, there's actually no one, right? It's actually that person. But in order for them to seem their words to be more credible, they say things like, you know, I heard from, you know, this group, or I was this, and an SPR told me, and I always say, who? Tell me who told you this, you know, or how does this, you know, happen? And a lot of it, you know, a lot of it doesn't have to do with me, but, you know, other type of things. And they're all like, And then they make up some lame excuse like, oh, I don't want to, you know, violate someone's own confidentiality, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you'd rather gossip and sin. And, oh, okay, that sounds, you know, fine to me then, how this works. But it's kind of ridiculous. And that's what these guys do. It is reported among the nations, you know. And Nehemiah is saying, who? What nations, man? You know, who are you talking about here? And then this guy, Gashmu, who had never even heard of this guy. Who is this guy? You know, out of nowhere, for all we know, it could be Sanballat's, you know, retarded cousin or something, you know, that does something. I mean, who knows, you know, how this works. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to use that word anymore. Sorry. I don't know, what is it? Emotionally challenged or something? Any case, strike that from the record over there, okay? And that you want to rebel, that you want to do all these things and so on and so forth. And notice... And notice what Nehemiah's response. No. You know, you just made that stuff up, man. You know, I mean, there's such confidence in Nehemiah. You know, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, when slander comes your way, yes, a good way to act upon it is to say, you know what? Maybe there's some truth in this. And so you should be the first thing to humble yourself and say, okay, God, you allowed me to hear these words. Maybe there's some truth. And then you go in and there's no truth and you just move on. You just move on. That's when you need to have, like, thick skin, you know what I mean, or Teflon skin. Let things bounce off of you. You know, I know so many pastors and so many leaders that because of their insecurity, you know, they hear things and it's totally not true, but it ruins them. They're always thinking about it because their default mode is to please people instead of to please God. And sometimes those are not mutually exclusive to one another. In fact, many times they're not. You know, a lot of times pleasing people and pleasing God is the same thing. But sometimes pleasing people is the opposite of pleasing God. And so they fall into that trap, unfortunately. And so slander comes his way. And all these things. And you know, notice every time he says that what's the whole point of all these attacks? They wanted to discourage him. They wanted to bring fear into his life. Because that's really all it takes. Some discouragement, some fear, and that takes us away from the work of God. You know, it's not like the enemy has to do a massive onslaught, assault, you know, frontal assault and all these things. All he needs to do is bring a little bit of discouragement and a little bit of fear, and that's all it takes. And then the work of God is thwarted. And then the next part is treachery. Remember yesterday we talked about satanic assignment, you know, a demonic scheme from outside and then from inside, outside. Now we have a view. Now it happens from the inside. So the enemy can't win through outside forces, through the Samaritans attacking Nehemiah. So what does the enemy do? He recruits someone from inside. This guy, this front, this actually was a close colleague of Nehemiah's. He was a confidant. He was a prophet. But he was sold off by Sanballat. He paid him off to give not a prophetic word, but a pathetic word. And so we see this incredible thing happens. And you see this, he says, you know, let's meet together. I mean, it sounds reasonable. Let's meet together. Let's go together in the house of God within the temple. Let's close the doors of the temple. The word really here is barricade the doors. And so they're not just talking about close the doors. They're talking about let's barricade ourselves, close ourselves off inside because they're going to come and kill you. In fact, they're going to kill you tonight. And he says here, basically, am I a coward? You know, I mean, why? And think about this as a leader. How bad would this look? Remember, during these 52 days, soldiers are at the base of Jerusalem, right? Soldiers are these regular, you know, Israelites are building with one hand and another hand on their weapon. You know, I mean, and they're all stationed around. Trumpeters are stationed around the city just in case something happens, and they're to rush to that place. And then can you imagine your general, like your top person, actually, you know, goes and flees and hides himself in the temple. What does that do to the morale of the people that are actually working day and night? One hand, you know, on the instrument and one hand on a weapon. I mean, how is that going to look? And he says, who am I? Should a man like me flee? And could one, this is verse 11, and can one such go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. This is ridiculous. This is not what a leader is all about. And I mean, isn't this true? Don't we lose hope and faith in our leaders that in crunch time, they don't respond. They don't move on our behalf. I mean, I remember when I first came to Hong Kong, and I didn't know anything about Hong Kong politics or, you know, or any of these kinds of things. But I remember when SARS came, because SARS happened right after I came and right after we started the church, you know, 2003. And SARS hit the city, and our chief executive was nowhere to be found. you know, Tung Chi Wai. I mean, he was nowhere. And people were like, where is this guy? You know, he should come out. And he was deathly afraid, you know, and they shut down apartment blocks and hospitals, and he's nowhere to be found. And I mean, literally, he's just like disappeared from the face of the earth. And yet, in China, the same thing happens. And remember Hu Jintao, he goes out to the hospital. He's like hugging, you know, SARS patients. And he's like a superstar. And they're like, oh, we're going to follow this guy. And then what happened to Tung Chi Wah? Man, that guy's career was over at that point. I mean, it was crazy how this works. You know why the Israeli, the IDF, Defense Forces, you know why they're like the toughest military in the world? You know, and I mean, not only have they created their own martial arts, which is basically how to kill people at close range. You know, Krav Maga, that's basically how it is. How to kill people in close range. It's nothing about self-defense. It's just how to kill people. You know, and I mean, it's crazy. You know why they're so successful? Because as a rule, their leaders, their generals, are in the front of the war. They're the ones, they're at the tipping point, and they go first in the battle. If you're a low-level soldier and you see your general take the front point, instead of most generals sit in the back or in an office building somewhere, you know what I mean? You're like, man, I'm going to fight for this guy. That's why they're the most badass, you know, a military in the world, because they lead by example. And so he's like, I'm not going to go run and hide. Are you kidding me? You know, what's that going to be? And they recognize that, man, at the end of verse 14, and they were trying to frighten me. They were trying to frighten me. Other passage says they were trying to discourage me. They came to take counsel in this way. They came to frighten me. And so then the wall is completed. Verse 15, this is like huge. And now a shift happens in Nehemiah, so we get to that next week. The wall was completed on the 25th of the month of Elul in 52 days. It came about that when our enemies heard of it and the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence. And for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Actually, the word says they fell exceedingly in their own eyes. In other words, all of a sudden, they begin to recognize how small they were. And if any of you guys have been through experiencing God with me, remember, one of the main points that Blackaby says is that, you know, that you try to do something that only God can do. It's one of those things. We try the plea. Let's have faith. Let's experience God. Let's do what only God can do. You know, and because, you know, one of his commentaries is most people, they settle for what they can do for themselves. Now, we don't think that's a big deal, but the big deal is, but then a hungry world never sees God. Because they only see nice people doing what they can do in their own effort. They never see the work of God in the life of believers. And so what happens? This work of God happens. And what happens all around? Everyone recognizes God is among them. It's crazy. That's why prophecy is so incredible as a gift. Because Corinthians tells us, and an unbeliever walks in the room and people are prophesying, he'll fall on his knees and say, God is with you, or God is here. An unbeliever will say that. You know, in other words, people doing something that only God can do. We sell ourselves and we sell God short if we only try to do the things that we can do on our own strength. And I mean, it's kind of crazy when we think about it. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard I think someone said it recently at church, or it could have been at our men's retreat, you know, but there was a group of pastors, African pastors, that went to the United States, you know, and they went on this tour and visited all these mega churches and, you know, all these different things that happened, and they were there, and afterwards, they were doing a debrief, you know, these poor African pastors, and they were thinking the pastors would be amazed, you know, at the big buildings and the programs and all these things. And so when these megachurch pastors asked these African pastors and said, what do you think? You know, and these guys, this is what they said. They said, it is unbelievable what the American church can do without God. You know, in other words, you can just on your own strength, your own programs, your own thing, and, you know, no Holy Spirit, no power of God. It's just, it's absolutely amazing what you can do without God, you know, to build the church. It's an indictment. And I mean, I'll be the first one to confess, man, most of what I do is what I can do in my own strength. I ask God to help me, you know, obviously, but most times I, you know, I can pretty much do it on my own, really. You know, and that's why I continue to give myself to church planting. Because it's tough, man. You can't do that on your own strength. I mean, you can't do that on your own. It's so difficult, right? And you need God's help. And, you know, even to bring about and birth a successful church. I guess I'm going to go into that now. So let's close our eyes a bit. A couple of things. One, are you discouraged today? Is there something been happening that's bringing discouragement? I want to let you know that that's the enemy. Jesus is the Son of encouragement. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, sound mind. And if you're discouraged today, I want you to begin to look upon it as an assignment from the enemy, trying to discourage you from the work of God that he has for you. I know some single people are discouraged that they're still single. Brothers and sisters, be encouraged. God is working on your behalf. Jesus says, my Father is always working. He's working even now. And the whole point of that discouragement is to get you off track into compromise. And so be encouraged this morning that our God is fighting for you. He has never left you. He's never forsaken you. He is with you always. There could be so many things. That's all the enemy. The enemy just wants to bring a little discouragement, a little fear. That's all it takes to sidetrack. We don't have to get off the tracks. You know, it doesn't have to be a train gets derailed. But just a little nudge to get us on the wrong track or to slow down our train. And so today, let's pray for the Son of Encouragement to come down. And maybe today just say, Lord, can you just encourage me today? Can you strengthen my spirit this morning? Maybe over some illness in your family, you know, or a job situation or relational situation. Say, Lord, you're the Son of Encouragement. Would you come and bring me encouragement today, right now? And he will, because that's who he is. Thank you. Let's pray this morning. Let's put our hope in the Lord, not in our circumstances, not in our situations. Let's put our hope in the rock that is higher than I. Like I said, and if you are feeling discouraged, again, just recognize, man, that's a demonic assignment. And just sit in your seat, ask for the Son of Encouragement to come down, to dispel the discouragement and the fears, and bring His encouragement and strength upon you, even right now. Well, let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are going through cancer, going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community dealing with illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan, right? The most unevangelized developed country in the world. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. Pray for our future plant in Tokyo. Let's ask God's hand to be with us and for Him to open the doors, everything that needs to take place. Let's also pray for Cambodia. Pray for grace and for Oasis House, over Pastor Jenny. Let's ask the Lord to move upon them and use them and just breathe His Spirit over this land. Let's cover. Let's pray for our mission council, and let's ask God to move upon our leaders, to speak to them very clearly, and that they would really lead our church in our missional endeavors. Let's pray over our local outreach, Agape, Home, ESP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for our leaders, our volunteers, every person they come in contact with, that they would get a sense of the presence of God in their lives. Let's just lift up. Let's pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministries. Pray for Cadence and pray for all the families. 17 families signed up so far, you know, and others that are being filtered or whatever it may be. Let's just really pray that God would really move. There's an event happening on the 21st, and so pray that God would really take the lead in that, and we'd really help really a lot of other churches in Hong Kong grab the vision. Tonight, IP, SPU, SP Youth, let's pray for our pastors, our leaders, our kids. They would really be drawn close to the Lord. Let's pray for IP to really pray God's purposes, and let's lift them up. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Elements, Go, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson. Let's pray for our leaders, our hosts. Let's pray the people would really draw near to God and to one another. And lastly, let's lift up our city. Let's ask God to protect. And I heard there's going to be some big protests on Saturday and Sunday. And let's just continue to come against that spirit of violence and rage that's taken over our city. Let's just pray for His peace to come down upon this place. Thank you. Let's pray this morning, Lord. Thank you for your word again in Nehemiah, God. And we recognize, Lord, that the enemy continually wants to bring discouragement and fear to us, God. Lord, to take us away from the work of God in our lives. And so, Lord, we ask for the Son of Encouragement to come down, Lord, to breathe life to us through your words of life, God. Lord, you said that you came, you know, to give life and life abundantly. And so would you speak that words, those words of lives over us, despite our circumstances and the situations that they're in, God. Bring your encouragement to us, Lord. We thank you. Watch over us, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you this weekend.